I still remember where I was the first time it hit me. I maybe do have ADHD. And it's funny, I posted a TikTok the other day about having ADHD, and a good friend of mine texted me and said, "Remember when you swore to me you didn't have ADHD?" Oh, goodness. Well, listen, if you relate to that at any point in your life, I want to share a podcast that you should tune into. It's called ADHD Aha, hosted by Laura Key. It's candid stories from people who share the moment it clicked that they or someone they know has ADHD. In each episode, you'll hear heartfelt interviews about the unexpected, emotional, and even funny ways that ADHD symptoms can surface for adults. And it doesn't always look the way we thought it would. So check it out. To listen to ADHD Aha, search for ADHD Aha in your podcast app. That's ADHD Aha, with Aha spelled A-H-A. Hello, you sentient balls of stardust. This is Struggle Care, and I'm your host, Casey Davis. And this is going to be another podcast about parenting. And as always, I encourage you to listen, whether you are a parent or a child. And that's all of us. Like, all of us have been children at one time. And I do my best to talk about parenting in such a way that if you are a parent, you are getting some really valuable information to use. And if you are an adult child, that you maybe can have an experience of healing your inner child listening to the kind of parenting that you deserved. So I have an awesome guest today. I have Rachel Nielsen, who is the host of the 3 and 30 podcast that I was on recently. Rachel, hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit, like, introduce yourself a little bit. What would you like people to know?
Yeah. So I am a former high school English teacher turned podcaster and stay-at-home mom. And from my experience teaching teenagers how to take big, complicated ideas and boil them down into thesis statements, I sort of do that now with parenting topics. So all of my podcasts are 3 actionable takeaways in 30 minutes, because I know moms don't have a lot of time to listen to parenting resources. A lot of them certainly don't have time to read these big, full parenting books that get put out on the market. And so I'm like, I'll just give you the 3 takeaways, make it as actionable and direct as I can. And Casey, everyone loved your episode that you recently did about rethinking housework, and 3 takeaways for that. And I live in the mountains of Idaho with my 2 kids and my dog and my husband, and I love where I live and I love what I do.
I'm so glad you're here, because when you reached out to me with your idea for a topic of parenting according to your values, I was excited about that, because there's something that I've always said is, like, when I became a parent, I had so many ideas about how I was going to raise my kids. And I read, like, every blog there was, right? Like, I was like, okay, the best way to feed is breastfeeding and then baby-led weaning. And the best way to give birth is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And the best way to play is for wooden toys that we rotate out every 3, you know, days, that don't do anything electronic. And then, no, I'm not going to speak in a baby voice, because you're supposed to speak like a normal voice to your kids. And I'm going to read a lot to them. I mean, we're not going to do any screen time. And then we're going to go to a Montessori school. And I mean, I just had, it's like, any decision that you need to make in parenting, there is a blog out there that exists about the best way to do it. But what I found is that there is no blog that tells you how you're supposed to follow all of those blogs at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really disillusioning to go through the first few years of parenting and watch myself, like, feel incapable of keeping up with all of these commitments about this idealized version of how I was going to be the perfect parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of morphed for me into this idea of, like, I don't need parenting rules. I need parenting values, so that, like, I can make the decision about what's important right now. Like, I realized I had to prioritize things. And the truth is, like, when I prioritize things, wooden toys and screen time and baby-led weaning, like, didn't really ever make it to the top.
Yeah. And you're so right, Casey, that there's no blog out there that captures it all. And also that can tell you how to parent your unique children with your unique values and context that you're coming from as an individual mother. And I have found that my values are what matter the most in how I raise my children. The lens through which I can do the best job for them is by being true to my values and bringing to them who I actually am and what I actually care about instead of what I think I should care about or who I think I should be. And that took me a while to figure out too. My first few years of parenting, I had, so many shoulds that, and I was miserable because I wasn't living up to them. And I finally realized that I'm the only person who can give my kids a happy and fulfilled mom. And the way to do that is by being myself within my motherhood and bringing myself to them. And it's made all the difference in my level of fulfillment in day-to-day life as a mom. And also, I think, in the success, quote unquote, that I'm able to have as a mom, because that is not definable by a set of rules or a standard. It's really definable by the connection that I have with my kids that comes from showing them who I am.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. And you know, this idea of values, it like sounds really good, but I never got past that point of like, but how do I figure out what my values are? Because I feel like whenever we have that conversation with people, we automatically go to kind of like the fluffy stuff, like kindness is a value and honesty is a value and right? But I have a feeling that you're going to help us flesh out something a little more actionable than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, how do I deal with my kids' toys if I'm like, kindness is my value? Like, I need a better like kind of rubric to look through to know. And also that like, whenever we talk about values being like kindness and honesty, like nobody would be like, well, I think I'm not going to choose kindness as my value.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, like there's actually a lot of kind of almost morally neutral values, and we don't all have to have the same ones.
Yes, 100%. I teach women in a program called Self-Assured Motherhood. We do an entire month about values. And one of the first things that I tell them is that we're talking about the morally neutral values. We're not talking about like whether or not to kill someone, which I'm pretty sure we all agree is not a good thing and we all have a value against. We're talking about things like adventure. Like, is that one of your values? That is morally neutral.
Mm.
If you really value adventure and that brings you joy as a mom and you want to take your kids on lots of adventures, wonderful. If you don't and you value routine and stability, that doesn't make you any less of a good mother. You just value different things. So these are morally neutral. They are not tied to religion or any religious principles. And you're right, Casey, that if you looked at a list of them, you might think, well, these all matter. Like, you know, kindness matters and so does honesty and loyalty and productivity. Yes, they all matter. And also, some do matter more to you than others, and that's okay. And sometimes it takes a level of self-awareness to be able to sort through and sift out and figure out. I'm not saying that kindness doesn't matter to me at all. It does, but what really makes my heart sing is adventure. And so, yes, of course we're going to have, like, we're going to be a kind family. But when it comes to prioritizing day-to-day life and activities, it doesn't resonate with me as much to think about kindness as it does to think about adventure. Whereas another mom might much more resonate with kindness, and she is, like, consciously thinking about taking her kids to serve the neighbor or to go and sing Christmas carols at the nursing home or teaching them to be very aware of the people that they're interacting with at the grocery store and making eye contact and chatting with them. Again, not that the other mom is saying we don't care about being kind and we're going to be mean to everyone around us, but just that what really I kind of gives them that zing of joy and excitement within their day-to-day life is different because they have different things that they value.
And I wouldn't even say that's necessarily kindness as the value. It's almost like altruism is the value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing I love about this, Rachel, is that I'm seeing so much potential for me to also parent my inner child in this. Like,
mm-hmm.
And there's some conversations that I think are important about, like, we don't want to swing too far in the opposite direction. Like, if you had a parent that yelled a lot and you decided, like, I'm never going to get angry, like, obviously, you know, we don't, and then we just never set any boundaries because we're afraid to set boundaries or be angry or punish or do any of this. Like, okay, at the end of the day, we need to be the parent that our kids need, not the parent that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
However, this, like, when you talked about a spirit of adventure versus a spirit of, I want to say, like, coziness and familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
my heart automatically like leapt at one of those. And I know it came from kind of like a place of woundedness of like, there might have been a little too much chaos in my childhood for me to like want adventure to be it, right? And like, I would sort of even like adventure isn't to me wouldn't just be like, oh, hiking. It'd also be like, oh, we're enrolled in so many sports that like every day we're out of the house, always on the go. And so like that resonated with me where it was like, no, like coziness and home and meals at home and predictability. I mean, is that part of it? Like, do you see that in parents? I mean, not that I would never tell my kids they can't be adventurous, but that like it's totally okay for me to lean into the one that is going to be more healing and more whole for me.
Yeah, I mean, totally okay for you to do that. And also, I think that it's part of the work of healing your inner child to figure out if what you think is a value is actually a trauma response and it's something that you want to work to let go of. And it's fine either way, you know? So you might say, no, really, the desire for coziness and stability and routine, it's not just that it makes me feel good because of the trauma from my past. It's that it actually makes me feel connected to who I feel I deeply am and that wasn't honored in my past. And so I want to lean into that with my own family versus you do feel a pull to adventure, but you are tamping that down because everything in you is saying like, no, that's dangerous. You don't want to give your kids an experience that was similar to what you had. So that's more of a trauma response, if that makes sense. And only you can sort of sift that out and figure out what is truly a core value versus what may have become a core value, even though it's not really you, because of negative things that happened in your past. And I wish that I could give like a formula for how to figure out the difference. I just think that so many of us are not even aware of the values conversation. And so even just listening to this podcast, some listeners are going to start looking for and thinking about their values in a different way. And it's a lifelong exercise in getting to know yourself and thinking, you know, I always thought that I really valued this, but I think that's actually because of hard things that happened to me in my past. And now that I've healed to a certain level, I want to start experiencing and experimenting with other ways of living. And I may come back to the thing and see it really was one of my core values all along and it wasn't just a trauma response, or I may be ready to embrace something different that I previously had not realized was one of my core values because it had been so buried by all of the hard stuff in my past, if that makes sense.
Totally. And I think, I mean, we're going to get into like some more specifics on how we can kind of dig in. But I have kind of two thoughts as we're talking now. One is I read Emily Oster's book, The Family Firm, and she talked a little bit about this concept, but just not, but the one example always stuck with me. She talked about how, you know, they have family dinner every night. And I think that what our society has done with the idea of family dinner is very much like over moralized it. Like it is the only right thing to do. And it's has all these benefits. And, you know, if you don't do it X, Y, Z. And I just really finally figured out that like, just because something has benefits doesn't mean that your child is going to be harmed if they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Yes, there are benefits to having family dinner. And she decided that that was a value for her over like being enrolled in extracurriculars. But extracurriculars also have value. And like, it would be perfectly okay for a family to say, actually, like, we value, what's it called? Like team sports and being a part of a team and commitment and follow through and discipline and hard work. And we can do all that obviously with kindness, or you could do it with, you know, competition. But the idea is kind of mind-blowing that when you're looking at a choice, that it may not be what does a good parent do and what does a bad parent do. It might be here's a really good thing and here's another good thing, and I can't have them or do them both at the same time, at least, you know, right now, and that I get to pick whichever one is sort of calling to me. And the second thing I thought was, do you think there's also room for like having different values at different seasons? Like if I pick adventure, am I stuck with that forever?
No, absolutely not. I tell women in my program, I'm saying try these values on. So I have them actually identify, go through an activity, which we can talk a little bit about because I would love to give your listeners some concrete takeaways for how to find their values. So I have them do that. And I tell them, you know, come up with five and you're trying them on. And this is not going on your tombstone. So try it out for a while. And often we'll find that, like, actually, the word kindness doesn't resonate. It's more compassion. And there's such a subtle difference there, but it's the word that resonates in your soul that means something different to you. Or Casey, you mentioned, like, that sounds more like altruism. Like, someone might think, oh yeah, it's more altruism than kindness. But you have to start with a framework of identifying a few values and trying them on. And then you sort of shift and change. And you may find that in a few years, when your kids are in a different phase, that you do uncover a different value and that things sort of shift and change. And that's totally okay.
Okay, let's take a short break for a sponsor who we are very grateful for. We're grateful for all of our sponsors, and we will come back.
Shout out to Claritin for giving me some free samples and for sponsoring this podcast. I am a seasonal allergy sufferer, which means that sometimes I'm lying in bed reading a book that is super happy, and my husband says, "What's wrong? Why are you crying?" Because I am sniffling, and he thinks I'm crying. But no, it's just seasonal allergies. Luckily, that does not happen anymore because I use Claritin D. We can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sniffing, sneezing, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat. It's great. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. As for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter, you don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi is the exquisitely observed memoir of an idealistic young neurosurgeon attempting to answer the question, what makes a life worth living, as he deals with his own terminal cancer diagnosis. It's a stunning reminder to live while we're alive, a must-read for anyone in medicine, from a doctor turned patient. For healthcare workers, expand your view on patient care and the fragile beauty of our mortal lives through Kalanithi's unforgettable words. Some of the questions Kalanithi wrestles with in this book include, what makes a life worth living in the face of death? What do you do when the future flattens out into a perpetual present? When the future no longer is a ladder towards your goals in life? What does it mean when you have a child to nurture a new life as another fades away? When Breath Becomes Air is a number one New York Times bestseller, Pulitzer Prize finalist, and was named one of the best books of the year by the New York Times Book Review, People, NPR, The Washington Post, Slate, and more. When Breath Becomes Air is available wherever books are sold. Learn more at prh.com/breath.
Hey, if you enjoyed my episode on IEPs and you want to listen to more podcast episodes about IEPs, I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ertube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. You might have heard me talk about IEPs on my episode, and this latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. I checked out these episodes, and I think that they are a great place for you to go after listening to mine. They go into a little more detail and answer a little more in depth about what an IEP is and whether your child needs one. So listen to Understood Explains by searching for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Okay, so we're back with Rachel and we're talking about how would I go about, like, what if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, like, wait, this seems like such a much better way of parenting. And frankly, like, as you're talking, I'm like, this is just a better way of living.
Yes, yes.
Like, because it's not just parents who are stuck in this, like, you know, optimize everything all the time, make every right parenting decision, or you're a piece of shit. Like, I feel like humans in general, a lot of us are stuck in that place of how do we decide this job or this job, or how do we decide to go here or go there, or what do we do? How do we decide what our values are if we want to move past the sort of fluffy, ambiguous stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned that I have an exercise I have women in my program do, and I've actually made that available for your listeners if they want. They can download it. It's the exact exercise I lead women through. And I'll put that at 3and30podcast.com/values. So you can go and pull it up. And the first half of it is sort of brainstorming free write questions about what you loved as a child and what made you come alive and what sort of made your heart sing. I ask a question in there about, have you ever been involved in a group project or a job? Something that like you felt incredibly fulfilled doing it. And can you identify what it was about that particular project or role that really fit you? And so you go through these kind of brainstorm questions and you try to pull out some themes of words that can capture, you know, and bring together the common threads between your answers to these different questions. So you're really looking inward to try to figure out, because your values have been with you your whole life, whether or not you were aware of them. So it's more of an uncovering than like a deciding on what your values are. Like if I were told to decide what I wanted my values to be, it might be a different list than truly getting honest with myself about, but who am I and who have I always been and what has been important to me? I remember as a child, middle schooler, noticing the kids that sat alone at lunch and really worrying for them and trying to, sometimes I'd actually, when I was at my best, I would actually go and sit with them and make an effort. Other times I wasn't at my best. I wasn't confident enough to do that, but I noticed them. And now in my adulthood, I realize that that's a little unusual for a child that young to be noticing people like that. And that's something that I kind of wrote down in my brainstorm of, I've always just had a tender heart for the people who maybe are on the margins. And that is a sign that one of my values has something to do with compassion, kindness, service, like the divinity of other people, inclusion. Yes. And so I can play with those words a little bit, but recalling those specifics from my childhood helps me to get there. And so that's the first half of the exercise, is really looking inward and seeing what you can uncover about yourself for yourself.
But before you do the second half, I want to play around with this for a second. So when you said that, my thought immediately went to Thanksgiving growing up. Every Thanksgiving, I would go see my family that lived like a state away, and I had a cousin that was my age, and we had a bunch of older cousins, and my mom had two sisters and a brother and both of her parents, and literally like everyone came. Mm-hmm. And we would sit around and play dominoes and eat Thanksgiving food. And it was like, that was literally every Thanksgiving up until I was probably 16. And for some reason, that's like right where my mind goes. So if that's where my mind goes, when you said like, think about something in your childhood that kind of like you enjoyed or made you feel alive or has that comfort, like how would I tease a value from that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can just throw out a bunch of different words that you could try on sort of based around that. Like to me, it feels like family, connection, togetherness, coziness, which you already mentioned, traditions. I don't know. Like those are some of the words that come to mind for me that can be teased from the fact that those times with your family meant so much to you. There's a value there. Can you think of any other words based on that, on your experience?
I think maybe the word community comes to mind, because definitely family, like that's part of it, but it kind of extends a little more than that, that community of just like right where you fit in, where there's people around and everything is kind of easy, like nothing is pretense, if that makes sense. I guess not always easy, but that idea of kind of just being surrounded by people.
Yeah. And you just said there were nothing's pretense. So maybe from that you tease out like authenticity is very important to you, feeling known and knowing and loving the people around you in a deep, intimate way that's not fake is very important to you. And it's super helpful to talk this out. So to do this with a friend or someone who knows you well, or a sister or a therapist, and say, you know, ask them, say, this is the moment that stands out to me. What threads or themes do you see? And then when they give you some ideas, you always have to come back to yourself and say, nobody else can tell you what your values are. You have to be able to say what words resonate and give me that little zing inside. I sometimes think about Marie Kondo, who did the life-changing magic of tidying up. And she'd say, when you hold your possessions, they should give you a little like king.
Spark of joy.
Yeah, spark joy. And that's how it should be with these values of like, hold these different words kind of metaphorically and ask yourself, does it give me a little zing, a little spark of joy? If so, then there's something there that I can explore as a value.
You know, what's kind of wild is that you mentioned earlier, you know, these aren't necessarily like, we can look back and realize these have always been our values. And I'm already realizing the things that I've done as a person and as a parent according to that value. I mean, like literally we ended up moving to a different city for my husband's job and like pretty quickly realized like, oh, I'm not thriving here.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about moving back where family was, but that kind of came in conflict with some other values that we had about where we were and why. And we ended up moving to a suburb and specifically to live 2 miles from a good friend of mine who was like, come here, live near me. We will be community with each other. And then shortly after that, actually talked to my mother about moving down and she moved down and we went and found a home for her and helped her through the process of moving. She now lives 10 minutes from me. I see her multiple times a week. Like my friend just stopped by to get to my vacuum cleaner to try it. And like we sent our kids to school based on the idea that we could know our neighbors. And I'm like, oh, like, okay. So that makes sense on a big picture scale, right? About like making those decisions. But, you know, even earlier when I was like, how do I decide what to do about the toys? I'm like, how would I decide how community applies to our toys? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I love that you were just able to parse out how the memory from your childhood connects to the things you love in your current life. That's beautiful to hear how it all connects together. And I think that not every value is going to apply to every situation. Like, could your value for community connect back to what you do with the toys in your home? Maybe. Maybe you decide like, oh, we're going to have, you know, I'm keeping all these toys. Like, I'm keeping more toys than maybe another mom would because I love to have my kids have their friends here and to have lots of toys available so that it feels like a community place where people can gather. And that's why, you know, my physical things reflect this inner value. And also, maybe your value for community has nothing to do with your toys and you decide to get rid of a bunch of them because you also have a value for simplicity and order. And that's okay too. And sometimes our values do get, they do sort of contradict each other. And that's when it gets tough. Like when women say to me, I have a value of connection, but I also have a value of productivity. Or I have a value of connection, but I also have a value of order. And so my kids want me to play with them and my value towards connection says, you should do that. A good mom would do that. But I'm like dying over the messy kitchen. And my value of order says, I desperately want to clean this up right now. And again, I wish there was like a magic formula I could give you of how to decide which value wins out in that moment. But I think it's a constant give and take. And you just have to say, like, right now, I am prioritizing connection and order can wait. Or right now, I'm going to clean my kitchen because I recognize we spent all morning together at the library or whatever. And that value has been fulfilled. And it's okay for me to lean into this other value without feeling guilty about it.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you're picking both, right? Like not, you can't pick them at the same time, but you could certainly have them in the same season.
Yes.
And get the benefits of both and even get the benefits of not choosing the other one from time. Like saying no to playing is good for you and your kids.
Yes.
Now, it wouldn't be good if that was all you ever said. And, you know, saying no to the kitchen is good for you and your kids, but it wouldn't be good if you always said no to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, just having the words and the understanding around values, I feel like gives you so much more self-compassion and ability to coach yourself.
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah. And to say to yourself, this is hard for you, Rachel. And I do. I kind of have this like inner voice that talks to me and is this compassionate cheerleader. And it kind of talks to me in the third person and says, this is hard for you, Rachel, because you really value order. But you also really value connection, and your best friend needs you right now. And so you do not have to feel bad about leaving your house in disarray because you are following another value. And so it just gives you this sort of like way to comfort yourself and cheer yourself on, so you're not shaming yourself for the things you're not able to accomplish at every moment of the day.
Let me tell you that I value rest and sleep.
Yes.
I don't mean in like a, you know, way. I mean in like a legitimate, there are major decisions that I have made around valuing rest and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big value to me because of how connected it is to my mental health, of how connected it is to my physical health, of how connected it is to my psychological health, and just the acknowledgement of like, that's one of the biggest ways that I, as a mother, choose myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amidst sort of the chaos of parenting. And I mean, major decisions that people might not agree with. I mean, I sleep trained my children.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of the biggest kind of attachment parenting people, and they're always so surprised to hear that I sleep trained my children
mm-hmm.
because the value of sleep won.
Yes. And the value of rest, I actually have never considered the word rest as a value until just now when you said it. And I think that's a beautiful value to hold. Like, think of all the different ways that rest can manifest itself in your whole life, not just talking about sleep, but in the way you set up your home, in the way you engage in your relationships, where people feel very at ease with you. They feel restful in your presence because of what you bring to their life. You know, I think that's an incredibly unique value that you could bring into so many areas of your life, and that it sort of takes a big level of self-acceptance in our productivity obsessed culture. You know, to say, actually, I don't value productivity. I value rest. And that is not a moral failing. That is an incredibly beautiful thing that I bring to my life and the lives of other people.
Wow. Yeah, because I do and have for, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, nobody prepares you how to parent your own children. And the truth is like my kids, they came and I was like, oh no, you're people.
Mm-hmm.
You're not ideas or blank slates. Like, you are people with your own brains and personalities. And, you know, I wasn't expecting to have neurodivergent kids, but here we are. And, you know, I have been doing for some time now what I refer to and others refer to as low demand parenting.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of rules in our house. I mean, obviously safety is important, and we do believe that boundaries are important. And, you know, because I value sleep, my kids actually go to bed at 7:30 every night and will for a long time and rest, right? So that's value for them and me because I need that time as well. So I don't want to sound like, you know, nobody, there's no structure in our home, but if I can say, yes, I do, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care where you eat. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care if you color on yourself. I don't really even mind if you color on the wall, right? Like, I'll tell you which wall to color on. But I'm now realizing that that is connected to probably a lot of values, but is connected to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone just rests. Like, it's just a restful place.
And when you are tied into your values, when you are clued into your unique values, I feel like you are less judgmental of other people, which is a beautiful way to live. You can look at other moms and say, they value something different than I do. And I don't need to judge them or downplay that. I also don't need to judge myself. You know, you mentioned sleep training. I have had a whole conversation with a young mom that I love who's gone back and forth on whether or not to sleep train her baby. And I've just said to her, look, what do you love about motherhood? If you love, you know, co-sleeping and having her with you and not, you know, you do not have to sleep train your baby. But if you are miserable and unable to function during the day because of the co-sleeping, you can sleep train your baby, and she will be okay. She will be okay either way, as long as she has a mom who is honoring herself and her needs, as well as honoring her baby at the same time, and building a home life where the mom is happy and at ease, or at least as happy as she can be. You're never going to be perfectly happy as a mom or a human, because life is hard and there's hormones and postpartum depression and everything else. But it's okay to build a family life around what you need and value as a mom. And it could look totally different than another mom. And you don't need to judge that other mom for the way she does it.
Okay. Let's take another break to hear from a sponsor, and we'll come right back. A
few weeks ago, my husband's beloved grandfather died, and it's been a really sad time for our whole family. But one of the moments of light in this whole process was shortly after he passed away, I got an email from my mother-in-law, and she had sent all of us a link to his Storyworth book. I don't know if you're familiar with Storyworth, but I have a new appreciation for them now that we have a Storyworth book on my husband's grandfather. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story, long or short, it doesn't matter. And then you get emailed a copy of their response as they're submitted in the course of a year. You'll get to enjoy the retelling of their stories that you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before. And after that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. I am so grateful to my mother-in-law for doing this with her dad. We love it. Families love Storyworth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. So Mother's Day is coming up, and I want to give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you will cherish for years. Right now, save 10% on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/struggle. That's storyworth.com/struggle to save $10 on your first purchase. Whether it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, or just because you know that sometimes time is short and you want to capture those memories.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who have still not been reunited. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called El Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, El Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's A-L-O-T-R-O-L-A-D-O.
Okay, so you were going to tell us what the second step is.
Yes, yes. So in the first part of my exercise, you're looking inward to see what you can, you know, tease out about your values. In the second part, you can look outward and start looking at lists of potential values. So I actually have a list of 100 values on this worksheet. And you can either just go through the list and circle and star, or if you are more of a hands-on learner, you can actually cut them out. So they're little slips of paper, and then you sort of sort them. And you can sort them any way that you want, but the way that I often tell women to do it is to make three piles. One is not that important to me, one is important to me, and the other is most important to me. And so you take these words and you put them in the three piles. And again, I remind women that, you know, the pile that you're basically tossing out, you're not saying is not important to me at all. You're just saying is not as important to me.
Wouldn't win in a cage match with a different value.
Yes, exactly. You're not saying like that you don't value health at all if you put that in the category, but maybe that's just not one of your top values or priorities and you don't build your life around, you know, your physical health like some other people do. My husband is incredibly active and loves to, you know, eat lots of vegetables and he has a different level of value around health than I do. And that's okay. Like that would never be in my pile of top values and it would be in his, and that's okay.
You know, what's crazy about that is that I don't think it is for me either. And I've always felt really a lot of shame about that because I know that like I'm setting the stage for my kids and their health. But one of the things that I've never thought about it that I'm realizing in talking to you is that it isn't that I don't prioritize health. It's that I don't prioritize it above other values that are more important to me, but that's only in instances where health intersects with a different value. Like if it's, I'm going to puree, you know, the most organic, nutrient-packed, homemade baby food, I'm not going to do that because I value rest. But rest is not always in the picture when I'm deciding, do I grab this donut or do I grab these carrots? Like, they're both right there. Like, I do multiple times a day make the decision, hey, let's grab the carrots. And I mean, I'm not to say that donuts are not healthy. I'm just saying, like, in terms of, okay, am I going to feed them donuts all day? Or, you know, hey, it's 100 degrees outside, so I'm not going to go outside and walk when my kids ask to because I'm not doing it. I don't know what, but like, when it's 70 degrees outside and they want to take a walk, I'm for it. And that, and I feel like, yes, let's do it. Let's get outside today. And oh my gosh, Rachel, the self-compassion that just released inside of me, realizing that I don't ignore health.
Yes.
I choose it in situations where it does not conflict with other values that are more important.
Yes. Isn't it amazing the self-compassion that it brings as well as the compassion for other people that it brings, the clarity that it brings? It's brought for me in parenting, like in co-parenting with my husband, so much clarity around why is he so like adamant with them about certain things that I don't think are that important, where there might be conflict between us. Once I started thinking more about values and I actually had my husband do this activity that I do with the women in my program. And once I knew what his values are, I could see like, oh, this really matters to him. That, you know, one example is that he really values, he played tons of team sports growing up. But because he values health and activity and all those things, and my son is not into it. And I was always like, why is he pressuring Noah to join these teams that Noah doesn't want to join? So then I had a conversation with Ryan and said, what's the values underneath that? And he said, well, I want him to be active and move his body. I want him to build friendships and learn about teamwork. So we kind of identified the values underneath. And I said, okay, our son doesn't want to be in team sports, but I can tell that these values really matter to you, and they matter to me too. So what are some different ways that we can honor who our son is and also bring these values in? And we came up with a plan, and we brought my son in. He's 12, so he can have a lot of say in his life now. And we brainstormed together ways that he could work with the team. And so like joining the Lego team at the middle school, the engineering team, and that he could move his body by riding his bike at the pump track. And so we're meeting the values while also diffusing the tension around specific activities that we sometimes as parents can get so like cause so much conflict in our family when really it's just a values issue underneath it.
Wow. Rachel, that is incredible. Because how many times do we do that? We push our kids to do something because we know that there are benefits that we feel like are really important. But if we don't stop to realize, okay, it's not the soccer in and of itself, right? You know, it's the value underneath. And like, if your value, and because as soon as you said that, where you said as a team moving your body, I was like, well, theater does that.
Yes. So many different things can do that.
That's wild. It reminds me of a conversation I had with my husband one time. He was a part of a fraternity and, you know, fraternities have come under some hot water. And many, many years after he was gone from college, his own fraternity kind of got in trouble. And he was talking about like feeling those mixed emotions of, hey, I'm glad that like things are changing and things are going to be safer for women and that like parts of that culture are getting kind of snuffed out, like the dangerous parts of that culture and the gross misogynist parts of that culture. But I still find myself sad because there were so many things that I valued that I got in that, you know, the feeling of brotherhood, the feeling of having someone to come home to, the feeling of tradition, the feeling of sort of friends that are friends forever. And it was similar to that conversation where it's like, okay, we can value those things, but when we identify what the values are, we can much more easily let go of things that might have kind of a net negative and go, well, how can I find these values elsewhere?
Yes. Absolutely. And it can become such a connective activity for you and a partner to talk about. It diffuses tension when you start talking about what's underneath, the deeper person. Why does this matter to you? Why? Let's talk about it. And then you know each other. It's intimate to know each other better. And then you're like, let's figure out together how to build our family life around these things that matter to both of us. And let's figure out what our shared values are and where we differ and respect that about each other and build a life around with an awareness of values underneath it.
Gosh, Rachel, I just think about how many parents are burning out because they are attempting to have every single value in the number one spot.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to wind down a little bit, but I wanted to share with you something that I think is kind of funny. I heard someone say one time, you know, that they don't have family rules, they have family values. And it was somewhat similar to this conversation, but they kind of said, you know, we have these four family values. And whenever my kids, as they're getting older, like want to do something, you know, we don't have a rule about what time you need to be home or what things you're allowed to do, but we go to the family values and make the decision based on that. And so kind of similar to what you're talking about. But what was funny about it was I had just seen a tweet by this very bizarre. There's this really funny account on Twitter called Time Scanner, and they sometimes tweet the most random things. And this was the tweet. It said, be a Kermit the Frog. Have a creative vision and no ego. Recognize the unique talents of those around you. Attract weirdos. Manage chaos. Show kindness. Be sincere. And ever since I read that, for some reason, it is just stuck in my brain where I was like, that's what I want my family to be about. Those are the values. Attract weirdos. Manage chaos. Show kindness. Be sincere.
That's beautiful.
And anyways, I just wanted to share that with everybody because I was like, never has like a four short sentences summed up what I care about life before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it like gave you that little zing in your heart. That's when you know this resonates. These are my values. And like you could put that on your wall or frame it and put it in your kids' rooms and talk about it a lot, that we are a Kermit the Frog family and this is what we value.
So Rachel, what do you want our listeners to know as they log off today?
I want the listeners to know that whatever your values are good and okay. And the more that you embrace the things that innately matter to you and start accepting who you actually are instead of who you think you should be, not only the more happy and fulfilled you will feel, but the world will be blessed by it, by you bringing who you actually are and owning it to the world, whether that's just in your home or it's in your workplace, it's in the larger world and community. All of us will be blessed when we become more aware of our values and we accept them and live into them.
I love that. Well, Rachel, thank you so much. We will link that website that you mentioned earlier in the show notes for everyone. And I wish everyone a great day. Take care of yourselves and toodaloo.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.